So this is board time on 4 December, Wednesday. Okay, ready to start?
Ready to start. Okay, we'll start with old business, huh?
Yeah, we have a light agenda. Unless the commissioners have something, we didn't have old business.
We always have a lot.
Can I go first?
Yeah, Axel has to leave at about quarter till. He's going to the hoof rot meeting.
Yes, everybody's favorite subject.
Yeah,
right around.
But there's roof rot, too. What's the other one there, Axel? Roof rot?
We got the tree root rot.
Tree root rot, Christmas tree root rot.
Yeah, that's the new one. This is a draft of your agenda for next Wednesday when we get together with our legislative delegation. If you want to just look at it and tell me to change it or add something or take something off, that's fine. But I wanted you to at least see the first cut of it before we get there next week and to give me any feedback. So we're going to talk about the rural economic development sales tax bill we ran last year. We need to get that extension done this year for Industrial Lands Bank. Senator Benton has a bill on stormwater, I think, that he'll probably end up talking about, but it involves how much the fee is for WashDOT for stormwater versus what we get charged, and I think working on something around that. And then we've talked a lot about conservation futures flexibility. I've got Josh Weiss, the legislative director, and Brian Enslow coming down from WASAC to talk about their priorities.
Where's this meeting happening?
This is happening on the second floor of the Hilton just after the
lettuce. And we're going to be, all three of us be there?
Yeah, we're going to be there. We've noticed and advertised for it. I've gotten confirmations from, I think, almost all of the legislators except maybe two. And the way it works is we go to the chamber. They have a big legislative breakfast in the morning.
Yep.
And
like
we'll, exactly. And then we'll piggyback on the back of that from 9 to 11. We'll go.
Okay, I have from 7 to 11.
Yep. So we'll go to the breakfast. Then at 9, we'll cut away and do our own meeting.
Okay.
So WASAC will kind of present their priorities. We've got a couple of things that we're requesting in the capital budget, and I'll try to have the specific staff there in case there's questions about the Heritage Farm Irrigation System or the CDM Services Building. And then transportation, I'll try to have Bill right there, or whoever, I put Bill there, but whoever wants to talk about in case there's specifics on 179th or 10th Avenue, which are the two biggies. So anyways, I just wanted to show you that.
You say you've got information for us on each of these things?
Yes, this is just
ahead of time.
This is just the agenda, but I'm building the binders. I've got about 19 binders, so it takes me a while to put them together.
Whoa.
But for sure, A, B, C, and D will all have paperwork with them, most of which will include last year's bills that we bill language. And I'm sure that Josh and Brian will get me at least paperwork for the Fiscal Sustainability Initiative, because I know they have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been a couple bills run before on public records, so we may have a bill there. But I'll put as much into those binders as I can so that we can just flip through the tabs as we go, like we did last year.
Mm-hmm. We talked about fast-tracking environmental process, and 10th Avenue Bridge was one of them.
Yeah, was that the design? I always screw it up.
No, design build. Build. No,
that's different.
This is just environmental requirements that we have to go through to span Whipple Creek.
Okay.
So that wasn't part of the reform.
It would be a regulatory reform.
We're talking more than 2 years. We like to get it done in a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because one of the things that, you know, we heard you last night, and we've heard it, and we understand that, but that is one of the constraints. We talked possibly about shaving some time by doing, you know, a design-build contract rather than a design-bid.
But we still have.
But you have to get the permitting so that you know what the constraints are first.
Yeah.
So then you've got your design far enough along that you know what the concepts are. And then you could turn it over potentially to a design-build contractor.
Yeah.
And those save you time.
So, and I guess it wouldn't just necessarily be that alone. It could be even those things that we're involved with on the 119th, maybe.
Yeah, our permitting, you know, especially at the state and federal level, is almost always the critical path on our project. You know, we have a lot of control while it's here in-house, and we're working on the design. When we send off applications for permits to the state and federal agencies, we sit and wait and it can be a long time. So usually, as soon as we get the permit, we're going to construction because we're everything else is ready.
So it'd probably be beneficial when we get into that transportation portion. They're going to want to talk to us about the, probably, I would hope, the current transportation package. And I know they're talking about regulatory reforms, reforms in transportation. That might be the time to kind of strike with that stuff. You know, hey, if there is a package, we sure would like to see these other things in it as well. And I'll take a look at Liz Pike, Representative Pike's list, because she sent us a pretty extensive list of reforms they're looking at. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of those is what you're talking about, Commissioner Melke. Okay, so just take a look at it.
Thank you for that.
I'll incorporate any changes you want, but I'm building those binders at the end of this week. And I got to go, but the other thing on here that you may have questions for me of is the recreational marijuana work session. I would just ask you to approve the fact that we need one, and if you have questions, obviously I can talk to you about next board time or whatever.
Yeah, in preparation for that, Dr. Alan Melnick was going to build a list with the prosecutor, make sure that it's okay with the prosecuting attorney's office, and with Bob Poole with GIS to make sure that they have what they need to be able to have the criteria that says, here's the pinpoints of the circles, mm-hmm. and here's the diameters mm-hmm. Or the radiuses of each of those circles, and here's all the different pinpoint categories you could have, daycare centers, parks, and you name
schools.
It.
Schools. Mm-hmm. Bob Poole's already done that. I mean, he's created that map with the buffers for all the different things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The question is, have we included all of the potential pinpoints we could?
We should. We should.
In other words, well, we thought of the kind of categories.
At the work session, we need to demonstrate that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that map will be
ahead
there.
Of the work session.
Yeah. I'll get you the materials. I'll get you that map, and I'll get you that. I can get you that map, and I can get you the draft ordinance we have right now, you know, by the end of the week, because we already have that stuff that we've worked on. But I'll have Bob get with you on the draft maps that he's put together with Gary, and then you tell him what you want changed. But I know he's got maps that have the buffers on it already.
And I assume that the prosecuting attorney's office are the ones who really define what the diameter, maximum diameter of or maximum radiuses they can be.
Well, the statute itself says 1,000 feet for everything. So everything they list is something that's got to be away from one of these facilities. They're all 1,000 feet,
okay.
Is my understanding.
Does the statute also very specifically itemize all the different kinds of activities, daycares, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it does.
Can we add to that list?
That's a Chris Horn question. My gut would say,
can you check?
Yeah,
because
you probably
if we can
could.
Add to it, I'd like to.
Yeah, and I think there's probably room in whatever we end up looking at for you guys to think about development standards. What other things do you want to include? So that would be one of those, is to add to the list of things you want protected. So yeah, absolutely, I'll ask him. But we need the work session. So I mean, that's I'm advocating for that. But then at that work session, we'll cover all those bases.
Yeah. The work session we had this morning, talking about the aggressive panhandling, mm-hmm. there were some lists of kind of categories there that I hadn't thought of.
Yep.
Take a look at those lists and see if some of those potentially could be added to the marijuana pinpoints.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. Okay, guys.
See you later.
Thanks. Thanks.
Okay. Pete's here to talk about two different items, property acquisition and on-call contract.
Okay, let me start out. We'll do the property acquisition. I've got two parcels that I wanted to talk to you about. 6 weeks ago, maybe, we at board time, we talked about the Souder property, which is on Cougar Creek Trail, and there was a benefit to Clark Regional Wastewater District, and so the direction was to see if Clark Regional Wastewater District would be willing to buy the property or partner with us further. So we got a response back from Clark Regional Wastewater District indicating that they were not interested, that it would benefit them if they had access, but they could acquire an easement for $5,000 to $10,000 to fully get all that they need, and so they're not willing to do more than what they had previously offered, which was if we bought the property, they would assist in building the trail so that it would, you know, provide trail access, but also give them then some access to their sewer line. So bringing that back just to see if we pursue that further or not. One additional piece of information is that it's in Park District 9, where, as I talked earlier at the work session, we have money in the acquisition fund for Park District 9 of about $1 million. And we will, you know, some of it's newer, some of it's older. I mean, it's not urgent that we spend the money today, but we are going to need to spend that money down to prevent having to refund it. So,
what's kind of the border of Park District 9?
Park District, roughly Park District 9 is the northern border.
It shows up on the map.
Do we have that? There you go.
Well, essentially, it is I-5 on the east, kind of the unincorporated UGA on the west, and Salmon Creek on the north.
Okay.
So it kind of borders the Salmon Creek Trail on the north and all of that property. So it's essentially an awful lot of Phillida and south of Phillida.
What's the southern border?
What's a triangle? So the because
on the west half of Tree Creek.
This is 9, so it goes like this. So here's Vancouver Lake, and it goes down to kind of the city limits, follows I-5 here, and follows Salmon Creek.
78th is the southern border?
No, that's a lot. That's further north. Yeah, no, the 78th here, so it's about 60th or something. Yeah, this would be 63rd.
It's part of the overall plan to connect. That's a critical link in the trail, right? It's a segment.
It is a one of the things that we talked about also, and Bill Dygert brought up, is mm-hmm. the trail system's also mm-hmm. an important component, and so it would help us in fulfilling our trails component of the Greater Clark Parks District, and it is in the comprehensive trails plan mm-hmm. to continue Cougar Creek Trail to the south. Mm-hmm. So,
if we were to go ahead,
I think this is an important mm-hmm. purchase. It's not a park; it's mostly critical lands. But it would serve as a trailhead and access to the trail. Mm-hmm. The Cougar Creek Woods, which is further north, is also part of the trail, but also a future community park. So it's a park. This is really just a trail component.
Go ahead.
6 acres, 200,000. 190.
I think when that came before us, that was our main reservation. Is that
it is 6 acres? Yeah, for $192,500.
Is that we wondered about the arrangements of who's paying for this? So, was it just simply the wastewater district that we were wondering about them?
Yes.
Okay. So we answered the question on that.
Yes.
So basically,
the thing that we can do, but I'm not going to guarantee anything, is that we need to use up some of the PIF acquisition fees, but mm-hmm. much like Cougar Creek, there we can apply to see if we can't get acquisition reimbursement for 50% of that cost. So,
sure.
You mean from wastewater?
No,
from
the state Recreation Conservation Office.
That'd be 15% from state?
50, 50.
Half of it.
Oh, 50%.
And that's
but we have to apply. But we've been pretty successful. We got it for Cougar Creek.
And we wouldn't make our decision conditional, the purchase of that conditional upon that grant. The grant just on top of it.
Can't do it. It's just, it, I'm just saying that we definitely will apply to get reimbursed for half of it.
We would have to own it in order to apply?
Yes. Yes, it's for prior acquisitions.
And what's wastewater expecting to pay for easement?
Five to ten.
If we bought it, would they pay us for easement?
That's not very much.
Well,
access.
To me, I think my...
Or we just cooperate?
Can they force us?
I think the value... I mean, they could, independent of us, acquire an easement. But what their proposal to us is we'll build that segment of the trail, or at least rough it and gravel it, so that, you know, they have the access they need, which is then money that we don't have to spend, which would be well in excess of that $10,000.
So you said they would build the trail?
They would build that segment, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So they'd be the
not
easement
necessarily
plus
paved, but at least cleared and surfaced.
So people can use it.
Yeah.
And what's the fair market value of that? 20? 20?
I haven't. It's more than
that'd
that.
That'd be great. Okay. So is there any reason we shouldn't do this?
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
I recommend it.
If it's part of the plan.
I've been out there physically. It's I think we're taking on a lot of responsibility for maintenance of it, because it's not accessible. It's so steep that you have to maintain a great deal of it. And all we want is the bottom end of it. And we're buying the top end of it right along with it. And we don't need that. Wastewater needs that. So I think that it'd be interesting to see what part of wastewater wants to be involved, or Clark Regional, to see if they're interested in talking 10,000 plus the trail. And then, what about the south of that?
South of that?
What story of the land south of that, down by the school?
This would be the southern limit of what we own. So there's some pieces down below, but this would be the contiguous piece that connects to the Salmon Creek Trail, as far south as we go. But the plan is to go all the way down south.
So how far south does it go? How far south past 99th Street can we go? Or 99th Street would be the most bottom. And then the question, if that's going to be a trailhead, are you going to put parking in there?
No, because we would have it at Cougar Creek. What it would be a trailhead more for the residents in the area that can walk to it.
But
we
don't have parking at Cougar Creek either.
We will. It's a community park. There would be some parking there.
Do you have off-street parking as planned?
There is. I mean, there is off-street parking at that location anyway. At this location, but in the future, when Cougar Creek Woods gets built, it's a community park, and community park standards includes
I'm not getting the full picture of what we want to do. Are we building a neighborhood park with a trailhead and no parking?
We're not building a park at all here. We will have just the continuation of the Cougar Creek Trail.
See, the trail is supposed to be open to everybody.
It will be.
But we have no place to park for the trailhead.
Yeah, because there would just be off-street parking. Most of what the concept is that as this trail gets fully built out, there will be parking a half mile to the north for people that drive in. This is mostly just for... At Cougar Creek.
But my impression, talking to Melita Allen, is that she doesn't want cars on that land.
Last time I checked, she doesn't have the...
It's like, don't you touch that, you know? So it's like, I'd like to see what more of a plan we're going to do. I hate to buy a pig and a poke here of something that's not going to be reusable, mm-hmm. or have a beginning or an end. Or what are we going to do going down south?
You had asked earlier. This continues on south past Columbia River High School, and down to Eisenhower School, and further south of there. So it's just part of that overall trail plan.
So would that be Conservation Futures dollars that we could use for that? It's a riparian area.
But I would prefer, because
we have
this PIF acquisition money that we have to invest it or return it. So the best source is really the PIF acquisition fund. And that's good for parks and trails, not just...
Okay. I don't want to make a decision now. I'll have to take a look at the map and see what we're building, where we're going with it.
Okay, I'll get that to you.
Okay.
So that parcel is a big, steep area, and the main interest of that is just simply to be able to get this so we can continue a trail at the bottom of this, right? And the trail would be built by the wastewater district.
Uh-huh.
So all we need to do, we don't need to do any construction or any park development kind of work. It's not a park. So we just leave that like it is. Let the trail be built for us so that it becomes a link in the chain where we can continue on.
Somewhat. When they talk about building the trail, they did not necessarily specify the connection up to the street and the trailhead. So that would still be on us. But that's something that at least, something you and I talked about, that's a great opportunity for a volunteer group to work on and take on.
It's got to be cleaned up. I mean, you can't walk down through there.
Well, the trail connects to an existing trail already, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're already down there.
You don't have a trail down there yet. You just have the right of way of the...
We have an existing trail up to that ends at about 119th Street. So we haven't got that far to go. And we do have... This would be the southern end of what we have.
I didn't think you had
the
trail at Cougar Creek yet.
Yeah.
Because Cougar Creek itself isn't done. Cougar Creek Park itself isn't
done. No, it's not. But the trail along Cougar Creek connects to the Salmon Creek Trail, and right now it goes as south as 119th Street. So this would just a little bit north of where Cougar Creek Woods is. So this would just be a continuation of the trail, and the trail can be built well in advance of the park being built.
How do we access that trail now?
Off of Salmon Creek Trail.
Off Salmon Creek?
Yeah.
So you have to park at Salmon Creek?
Yeah, but a lot of people use it because they want to walk further and go different places. So a lot of those people go a long ways. So they'll park at Kleinline and walk the trail, and then rather than go into 36th Avenue, they'll go south at Cougar Creek and go down there and kind of do a loop and so forth. No, there's not as many people on this segment as there is on Salmon Creek, but it does get used.
So Salmon Creek is a very popular, wonderful trail, and I've gone up and down it a number of times, and it's like you get to the end, it's like, oh, I wish I could continue.
Yeah.
So basically, this would allow continuation from there.
Mm-hmm. How long? Three blocks.
How long is it?
From Cougar Creek down to this is about three blocks.
And how long is this property? Would this extend? So it's three blocks from Salmon Creek Trail to the beginning of this.
From Cougar Creek.
Okay.
Well, this takes us another half mile to the south.
Three blocks.
Long blocks.
If you go,
it's 10 blocks.
The road around, yes.
Well, no, it's going from 119th to 109th, so it's 10 blocks.
Please go down and physically see it.
I'd be very happy to. What I'm thinking of, trails, unlike parks, become a network. They become like a road system. And you ought to be able to traverse from one place to go all through the county, and this being a critical link in the chain that would allow us to be able to continue that along the creek.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it needs to be a critical link all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
This is road to nowhere so far. And that's when I want to see the plans to what we're going to do with that.
Sure.
Especially if you don't have a trail head or a place to park to use the trail.
Yeah, and ultimately, along there'll be various trailheads so that people can enter and exit at various locations.
That's what I'd love to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is privately owned?
Yes.
Do the people know that we're interested?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We pretty much promised we were going to buy it.
Well, but based on maybe the misunderstanding that I had, after we had our last meeting, I thought, you know, it sounded pretty firm to me that we weren't interested unless the sewer district was going to pay for it, and the sewer district said no. So we've told the Souders that, sorry, we're not going to purchase the property. But it hasn't moved. I can call the Souders back.
Let's take a look at it and consider it.
Yeah, and just simply it's been a while since we had that, but my recollection on that was that the terms didn't look like we finished our homework as to who should pay for what, because we got really basically two interested parties, the sewer district and the county, that would both be benefiting, and we wanted to ask the question, were they willing to partner up some money also? And the answer is no. Well, at that point, okay, we've done our homework, even though it's not the ideal answer, it's an answer that would allow us to be able to move forward with knowledge.
Sewer district has no access to it.
Well,
and they have a pipe down there.
I would think that if any time you have a trail along a creek, it comes from has a starting point.
Much of the Salmon Creek Trail was built for sewer access originally too, because that's where the sewer line runs.
That's good.
So okay. I mean, there has been a long-standing partnership there.
So why don't we do this? I help me to navigate, so you can set me up down there. I'll go scout and see firsthand. Sounds like Commissioner Milkey's already done that.
Well, the easiest thing, and I'll just bring them up, is some trail maps, and I can I'll circle the segment.
Yeah, good excuse. I want to see if it's lost.
There's cell coverage down there. His phone will quack.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete.
That's good. Thank you.
All right. I have one more parcel. Here's another, just a GIS copy of this one.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
And what we have here, this, when Phillida Community Park was built, we bought the 15 or 14 and a half acres from four different property owners, and one of them was Janet Stewart. And Janet, we had been interested in acquiring that property, but and it has not been uncommon for us to buy life estates, buy the property, but allow the resident to live on there, but they weren't agreeable to that. But Janet has passed away, and her family says, do you still want it for a park or for part of the park? And one of the things that you'll notice on this map, if you look at from the bottom, the road into the circle and the parking lot for Phillida Park, it is the fairly large, it's well, it's 0.59 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a larger parcel with the house, and then there's kind of a Quonset hut there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So it's just right here.
It's
this property right there.
I was thinking that was it. But look at the picture, and the picture shows one little house there.
And this one shows.
So we own this one?
No.
Because the map shows.
Yeah. We own this. We own this piece right here.
Oh, okay.
And then we own this.
This leg right here.
Yeah. That's
it's right here.
This piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this property, the family has come back to us and said, you know, are you still interested in acquiring this property? And because of, again, this is also in Park District 9.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Philida Park. I don't know if you've ever been out to Philida Park. It's a wonderful facility, has a great soccer field and trails. But it would be an enhancement to this park to have a little bit more road frontage, because all we have is just that little flag that gets you in, and then the little bit of the trail system that brings you back on the west side. And so the you know, one of your questions or concerns, I mean, this certainly, the house is old and not in very good condition.
That's all overgrown. Are they living there?
The house?
No, Janet has passed away, and it's vacant.
So it's just vacant.
Yeah. And the family is saying, you know, hey, we want to give you the first opportunity to buy the property. If you're not interested, then we'll put it on the market.
This?
It's a Quonset hut sort of thing.
So
it's
just
a semicircle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there no value to these buildings?
Is it the vertical curves right here on 22nd? Is it the hill?
No.
But that hut could be disassembled and sold and re-erected someplace
else. Oh, yeah, we can do things. But when you look at the house and you look at the value of the property, you know, 0.6 acre, you know, the value is really in the property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just here.
Yeah.
And
so
this is the amount?
Yeah, $200,000. Or it's assessed. We would need to do an appraisal on that. But it was because of your concerns about some of the parks acquisition, we didn't want to spend time or money on this unless we got, you know, not necessarily a binding thing, but a thumbs up, yeah, this would be good to have. We have a deficit based on our current development standards, so it would help to meet some of those needs. We have the monies in the acquisition fund for that district, and this is another one I would recommend that we acquire this property.
Right, it sure seems like a good buy. If that's
how much?
$200,000. But they have to get an appraisal, which would likely differ from this amount.
Like 2/3 of an acre.
Best guess.
Yeah, that's just the assessment.
It would be
value.
Something that we would probably do additional parking, or we've got enough parking, or make it park, or what?
That would be.
What would you do with it?
We don't appear to have a shortage or a parking problem at that location.
All that parking
is sufficient? Yes. The only time that there may be some of it that becomes some overflow parking, because sometimes on soccer days, you know, we can get a bunch of people there. But the rest of the time, you know, I haven't been there on a Saturday when they're playing soccer. I've been there at other times, and, you know, there's
this is still
way more parking than what we need.
This is still a private home here?
It's still a private home.
So that's county parking for that part?
Yes.
Already? And that's sufficient?
It is, except I guess I wanted to qualify it. I'm sure that there are times on during soccer season, you know, when they may be between games that there's a shortage.
That's a good example of that is on 134th at the baseball park there.
Yeah.
We're so short of parking. You've got games going on.
That's HB4.
And you've got the next games coming in. You need twice the
exactly.
space.
Exactly. Yeah, because you got overlap.
Almost every park, we have the same problem in our brand new park on 78th Street.
Although we tried to schedule it in a way that there was a little bit of gap between games.
People get there early. They're parking everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your friend Jack was complaining about that.
I see. By the Quonset hut, what's all the? Are those vehicles? What are those?
So from that, I think, yes. It's just.
Is that
so
like
it's not a junkyard?
Maybe some repair shop or something?
Well, it's not high quality stuff.
Is it still sitting there?
It's going to be
last
hauled over
I was out there, but it's been a while, and since she's passed away, the family may be cleaning it up. I don't know.
Scrap metal.
So our intent is to remove the buildings that are there.
Yes.
I like that better than buying it and rent. I don't think we should be.
No, this is one I wouldn't. Yeah. Well, just the upkeep on this house would not be. This is one where we would just tear down.
It's already an eyesore. I expect the neighbors would want to see it turn into grass mowed
Yeah, especially these look like recent homes.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend going forward with an appraisal.
Okay.
You?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That other property we talked about.
And then we need a district 9 too, which is
yes.
Yeah. Do we need an appraisal on the first property we talked about?
No.
Oh, we have one.
We have an appraisal on that
okay.
one. And that was one where I think, frankly, and we'll bring you some more information, because it was part of the trail plan and we need to expand the trail system. I think we moved forward because
we thought
for sure
safe.
We want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm coming here now because I want to be just a little bit more cautious before I spend resources on something.
It's in an area that we have to have a plan.
Yeah.
And it has potential for extended walking trail with destination rather than, we don't need that walking trails at the end and you have to try and walk back. We have a couple of those already. We need
all
to
right.
connect them up.
I'll provide you. I'll bring that information to you.
Great, Pete. Right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll let Heath lead off on this next item.
Still working out, is he?
Yeah, still keeping at it.
Yeah.
Beef.
That's work out in the bottle.
Go for it.
That's working out with weights.
Yeah. We wanted to take this opportunity just to chat a little bit about some staff reports we have coming your way next week. We have, I think you'll see three of them, where we're requesting some on-call consultant resources. And Bill Wright mentioned it last night a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we've been doing for quite some time, kind of a way we do business, mm-hmm. about 13 years. And this particular effort, we actually combined, we went together with, we coordinated with Environmental Services, and then all of our engineering disciplines, our real property group, and we sent out several proposals, and we received back many, like well over 50 different proposals. And so now we've sifted through all those and with our various teams, and so we're coming forward with the staff reports requesting authority for the directors, Pete and Mr. Benton, to sign all the contracts. And so we have just a little bit of background. This is another thing where we're asking for, it's a pretty big dollar amount. I think the total dollar amount between the two departments is about $8.5 million.
Ooh.
And so we thought, dude, that's the reason we're here.
It's $800,000.
Yeah, it's a little bit of sticker shock, but and that's why I wanted to explain it a little bit, because it's for.
Do you want to hand these out?
Yeah, actually, if you want to take this, is just
so
a little bit.
This is in addition to the consulting that has already been authorized.
Well, by and large. No, because
we've authorized a renewal of other consulting firms with a dollar amount.
The only one that I remember that most of our consultant services are done on these on calls. The only time that, most recently when we hired the consultants for 10th Avenue, because it was a large project and our on-call contracts were not going to be able to cover that we sent out an RFP and we brought contracts forward for that specific work. This is for everything else, and I think it's really helpful if Heath explains what he's got here.
So again, and when we say they're on-call, if we don't need the service, we don't use it.
Right.
But and historically, when we've had $100,000 authorized on a contract, we spend about $65,000 of it, and it's by need, really. And I would say that our staff is very frugal in that way, and they try to do as much as we can internally. So it's often we're pushing to move put stuff out externally so we can increase the amount of work we get done.
One of the ones off the top of my head. We just passed the supplemental budget to add two FTEs to the traffic signal engineering.
Right.
And now we're going to authorize more spending for survey.
Well, this is, and there's different, so those, the type of work and the timing of work, it's just about resources and having it available. If for some reason, our first instinct, for example, on traffic engineering, and we need it on almost every road project, is to go to Rob and work with Rob Klug and the various other traffic engineers. But if they are very busy with working on the TSO projects and other efforts, then we have this resource available to us, so we can go out to a traffic engineering firm and say, hey, we need a traffic study here for a few thousand dollars, and they can go ahead and do it.
And I might explain, what we have tried to do with our staffing is that we have engineering, construction management, and real property staff to do our normal work at kind of the low end, because our workload for capital program can fluctuate from year to year depending upon the program and so forth. And then we have relied on consultants for two specific things. One is those niches, those specialty right. services, because we don't do enough structural engineering to have a structural engineer on board. Periodically you need structural engineers. We don't do enough geotechnical work to have a geotechnical engineer on board, so we hire out those services. And then the second element is when the workload is greater, it's the overflow over and above what we can't do. And I think, explain this graph, because I think that
yeah,
helps.
So this graph here, just looking at the green line is basically the total amount of money that we've spent in preliminary engineering since 2008. So that's basically all the design work that goes on and project management efforts. And then the blue line is basically the external resources. So those are consultants that have helped us with that work. The red line is the internal staff. So you can see over a period of time, you know, it really bounces around how much we need external resources depending on the type of work and the amount of work that happens. So we try to, the reason we really use these on-call is to fill those gaps and for the niche services. Yeah.
So what I'm looking at the blue line, mm-hmm. and that's your consultant.
Yes.
And it shows like $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking $8 million.
So,
but this is only for one element of the talent that you need, right?
No,
this
isn't environmental, this isn't appraising property.
Right, and I will clarify, this is for the engineering and construction group. So I don't have all the data for all the other, like, environmental services.
Yeah.
And since we've had this data, we're adding, and the way we have our work divvied up, is that there's some other services we have, like traffic engineering historically hasn't been in this data. So it's another piece, another element. We have pavement preservation work that goes on. And now we're basically, we have, and part of it is looking at the next graph and how much work we have next year, the next 2 years. We have about $8 million planned in preliminary engineering. So if we have, and based on that, there's just no way with the resources we have that we can spend that much money in a year. Typically, where our staff can contribute $1.7 to $2.5 million a year. Just with the resources that we have. So anything above that is external resources. So there's a difference there.
Let me point out, too, that if you don't expend these resources, that six-year plan that you saw on the board last night won't happen. That those projects will be pushed out in time.
In other words, the plan that we saw last night was assuming that we get the help, including the external help, that was already that part of this, yeah. $8 million or whatever
exactly.
it is here,
yes.
is already included in what we approved last night.
It is.
Exactly. This is what it takes
from the road
to deliver that, yes.
I guess what I'm struggling with off the top of my head, we have a bridge out there that we're all aware of in toward the Brush Prairie area. That we're looking at doing maintenance work.
We'll talk
on
next week about that one.
That for probably a 0.6 of $1 million more than what we're going to spend on the maintenance, we could do the bridge properly and rebuild it.
And we, no, not 0.6,
$6 million.
$6 million. I saw different numbers.
Yeah, no. What they want us to do would is just... We have $700,000 and they want a $6 million project.
Okay, I'll go back and review those numbers again because I thought it was like a $1.5 million to redo it, and we're looking at spending $600,000, and we still have water going over the road. And I only spent $8 million in consultants. I'm having difficulty here.
I think it needs more explanation. So it. $8.5 million. We don't expect to spend that money.
Yeah, but we're talking 2 years, 14, 15.
Two or three.
Actually, the way we set up this one is sometimes, and we see it often, is that we'll come to the end of that 3 year period, and there's still funds available on those contracts, and they just expire because we didn't end up needing it or using it. So we have this one we've set up to be an initial 2 years, and then a possible 3 year or 3 1 year extensions. So
but the extensions don't add money.
Just time.
And plus, this is not just for engineering. It's for real estate appraisal services. It's for environmental permitting services.
$8 million.
Well, I'm
blindsided by $8 million. And we've never done it this way before. We've always done on a smaller scale. We've done $500,000 here and $500,000 here and $500,000.
You're right. We have piecemealed it to some extent, coming in with it depending on different sections did it at different times. Yeah. And one thing, we try to work with a consultant community. A lot of them work right here in town, and it's easier for them to see them all at once and respond to them all at once. And partly because some firms, if we have 10 disciplines that we're looking for help on, they can provide 8 of them. So we want them to have a chance to look at one RFP and do that information.
Plus, by doing the on-call, instead of doing 40 different contracts or 40 different things you need, you do 8 contracts, and then you do task orders. So you get them on board, mobilization's quicker, you get the product quicker, and those aggressive timelines on your tip can be realized.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And one of the things that we do that I think is great is that unlike the traditional method of consulting for engineering design, where it's just a turnkey basis, you do this, they bring it back to us, we need additional resources or we need some specialty resources, we integrate them into our team.
Right.
We don't necessarily just let them go away. We stay on top of it and we work with them, and it keeps the quality there, but it also allows our people to learn some new skills and so forth at the same time, maybe learning from those consultants as well. It has worked fabulously, and I know, because that was why we wanted to meet, the sticker shock is a big deal, but it's understanding that we historically have only spent 65% of it. The reason why we asked for more is that what we'll find over time is that we'll select a consultant. And the beauty of an on-call contract is if they don't deliver and do good work, they don't get any more calls from us. So we may have a contract, but no work. And it gives us a ton of flexibility.
I just don't like the idea of tying our hands of being flexible.
Well, the part that's flexible in this is that, we can obviously...
You hire as you need. I understand that.
And the other thing is that the reason dollar amount, it is really more inflated than it needs to be is because, for example, Real Property Services, they're asked for $1.4 million in 14 different contracts. Now, it's very unlikely that we would spend that money. But part of the challenge with Real Property Services is it's a niche field, it's a very specialty field, and what we've been finding is you'll go to an appraiser and say, we need an appraisal on this property. So we'll contact an appraiser, and that we've hired that's ready to go to work for us, so we just make the phone call and they're off and running. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, I'm really busy, we've got all this stuff, I can't get this to you for 6 months. Okay, so we go to the next one on the list and say, hey, can you help us? And that's the built-in flexibility of it, and where we really don't intend and don't plan to spend all the money, but it gives us the capacity to be able to go do that quickly when we need to, rather than having an appraisal, you know, this come in front of us and you say, we need this appraised, and it's like, okay, well, we're going to need to get somebody on contract, work out a scope of work with them, and then ensure
board approval, and then we're looking at 90 days versus just turning somebody, you know, loose on a phone call.
And if and it's the type of thing is we typically, if we don't need the service, we don't get it. Mm-hmm. And with some specialty thing, you know, bridge, for example, if we have a slide, and the other thing with the consultants, a lot
the
of
the Sarah slide is a good example.
Yeah, you know, that's a, like, for example, the Sarah slide, our design section manager has such a good relationship with the geotechnical firms, it's literally a phone call, might even be a personal phone call, the day that happens, and that individual is somewhere in Vancouver and will be out there immediately.
Don't we already have them agreeing to a contract of work prior to, I mean, we don't go to them and say, hey, I've got $8 million here to spend, are you interested in part of it? We go out and say, okay, company ABC, here's I want you to come back and tell us if you're available to do this work.
Yeah, we do it exactly that way. What this contract does, you know, I mean, they can be very responsive, like he said, but once they get the contract, they don't get any work until we give them a task order that has a specific scope and budget that we've agreed upon. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they can start doing work. What this does is it just gives us the ultimate amount of flexibility and time savings, which, you know, I mean, I think you're very sensitive to the time. We can quickly respond, get somebody doing something that needs to be done. And I think the Sarah slide was a good example because, you know, the roadway slides out. We got to close the road. We got to get it repaired as soon as possible. So we got a task order. If we had to get a contract, we would take much longer.
We're saying the same thing. The only difference is you have open-ended contracts with several different people. And back here you have a pot of money that you're going to spend over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
We don't need all $8 million right now.
Well, you'd have to go out for another round of contract.
No, you don't.
If you don't.
The contract's already in place.
But the contract has to have a dollar amount. It has to have a term, like a number of years or months.
I guess we go out to the out to those people interested. You don't know what your contract is if you have a slide.
Yeah.
You just have somebody that's available, right?
Right, but we have. So, for example, we would hire a geotechnical engineering firm, and their contract would be $150,000.
Up to
$150,000. So if we have a slide, so we contact them and we say, hey, we need your help. Mm-hmm. We issue, if it's the first one of the contract, task order number one, and they say we agree to $12,000 for all.
So
the
they could still say, I'm sorry, I'm real busy right now. I can't do it right away.
Then you go to the next one.
Then that's
you go
why
to the
we
next
have
one.
Multiple
exactly.
ones.
Exactly.
So we have Geotech B.
And that's what we've done before. We've gone out there and said, okay, you got $250,000 mm-hmm. open for this person, mm-hmm. and they all have.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly what we're doing.
And that's where I'm going from. I don't need $8 million to do that.
Well, when you add up the individual contracts, you got $200 with this firm, $200 with that firm, $200 with that one. And then you go to
like
Don Benton, and he's got $100 here, $100 here, $100 here. And then you do the real estate appraisal services. When you add up all those individual contracts, the total is $8
million. We've never authorized this kind of money for consultants at one time.
So just, you know, this is a lot of data and information here, but... So civil design, construction management, structural engineering, geotechnical, materials testing, traffic engineering, surveying, project management, development engineering, which we may or may not ever use development engineering, pavement preservation, public involvement, and then and then there's some environmental pieces. Each one of these groups just has a few contracts associated with them, and the money is spread across all the various disciplines so that they have flexibility in order to, you know, if Geotech A isn't available, they go to Geotech B, or if civil engineering firm A is a stormwater specialty and we really need a road specialty, we go to a different one. So it provides an amazing amount of flexibility when it's needed to increase the, really it's about responsiveness.
You mean questions?
Yeah.
Go for it.
My turn? Okay. I assume that these are the kind of special specialists that we normally wouldn't have enough work on staff or for our own staff to do. It wouldn't be, and let me just finish what I'm thinking there, is that there's a, if we had a specialist in-house, we had somebody that if they're available all the time, or there's a staff member, when you look at that dollar amount, even though you may not need them all the time, compared to a very large amount, we're talking about millions of dollars here, you could afford a whole lot of specialists for a couple of years to bring them on board when you're talking about that kind of money. Now, I just wonder about some specialists it wouldn't make sense to bring on board. Are there any, like I'm thinking traffic engineering here, if we're paying premium dollars to some of these specialists, and maybe it would make sense to bring some of those specialists in-house so that maybe you're not paying such a premium dollar, but you have them on board here already.
Yeah, the difficulty is the vast array of specializations, because you can say a traffic engineer, but we have our traffic engineers that do site distance, that do signing and striping and all of that sort of work, that are registered traffic engineers or qualified traffic engineers, but they're not signal designers. Or, you know, so it's much like, you know,
in other words, you would draw from a team of individuals,
yes,
and those individual expertises.
And when we hire a firm, mm-hmm, under one of these contracts, we're not hiring one person. We're, mm-hmm, hiring all of the different resources,
yeah,
and different levels of expertise.
Yeah.
And it's I trying to explain it, you know, from a lot of the different specializations,
mm-hmm,
is the analogy of doctors. You know,
yeah,
you may have a GP, but
you want your specialist,
yeah,
but you need your specialist. You
know, you're not going to have your dentist do,
yeah,
brain surgery.
Yeah. So that was,
they're both doctors.
So I just wonder how well you've scrubbed the list. If there be any, because I expect that's the case that we have here. I just wonder, are there any of those that you think, well, you know, I notice on here we need an ear specialist here 3/4 of the time, and the amount that we're paying for a specialist external, we could have a full-time ear specialist here and end up spending less money.
The other issue that we have is that Heath is juggling quite a large number of,
yeah,
projects at the same time,
mm-hmm,
and so there are times where we need 3 or 4 of these type of people.
You need parallelism,
and then we
don't need okay,
any of them for a good part of,
okay,
the year.
I get that.
So you get somebody sitting on their hands.
Yeah. Okay.
So
let me see if I can summarize what this package is about. When we looked at the schedule last night of your projects that you want to accomplish over the next 6 years, there's a schedule to that. And a number of those, in order for them to be on time, on budget, you need to be able to have the right help, the right specialist at the right time.
Absolutely.
If we don't enable you to have that help with this flexible availability of help, then that schedule that we saw last night skews out. It delays because,
yeah,
now you've got a more lengthy process that's more detailed. You need to go out for more often for bids, and that stretches and pushes them all out, which is the exact opposite as we want to be able,
yeah,
to do, like on 10th Avenue. If anything, we want to move it in,
right,
and this would move it out if we don't give you the tools,
right,
to do so.
Yeah, you've got it. And there's even, because it's one of the system improvements that we've done over the years, is that originally when Heath and I came on board, if a project was scheduled to be bid,
mm-hmm,
in 2014, they considered it an accomplishment if sometime during 2014 you bid it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not acceptable, because if we bid a project in June when the contractors are all busy, price goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to bid our projects in the late, mm-hmm, winter, early spring, when,
yeah,
the contractors don't have any work on
the
books. They,
mm-hmm,
give us good prices,
mm-hmm,
and then they also then can start at the prime time and get the most production.
Yeah.
We bid it in the summer. Basically, they're going to carry it over the winter,
mm-hmm,
and do it next year. It's going to cost,
okay,
us a lot more. So it's
got that.
We've got a specific time frame.
So tell me if this summary also is correct, okay? I want to make sure that's the best way I know to make sure I understand. You can correct me if I get it wrong. That schedule that we saw last night and the cost for that, we approved a budget for that. This is not an extra $8 million to add on to that. That's saying, remember that budget that we approved last night and that schedule that we saw last night? This is a component of it. This is the next step to enable that to happen.
Yes,
it's already included in what was authorized. You're not asking for an extra budget.
Those costs include preliminary engineering, permitting, right-of-way, construction.
So if we're going to make that happen, we need to be able to enable you to have access to those resources using the budget that was already authorized so we can move forward on schedule with what was planned.
And I would also say, because Heath and his group do a really good job, and it came up last night as well, is that just because we have budget authority, we're not going to spend the money.
You've had a good track record getting it done most of the time.
And they do a good job. You know, we need to review some time with you, kind of the performance measures that we have and how we track what percentage of survey, engineering, construction manages to each project that we're above or below the industry norm. And they take a lot of pride in it, and it's all up on the big board, and your name's on it, and if it's over and above the average, then you're a little nervous about, you know, how Heath might be looking at you.
Sure. So this allows you to pay as you go.
Yes.
With the minimum amount of overhead necessary to get to navigate through these processes.
That's exactly.
I'm good with that. We're not adding to
this. I don't recall any consultant contract exceeding $4 million. Can you show me one?
No. And all of these do.
5 years, I don't remember.
But these are 30 contracts? How many total?
Total will be between the three different groups, 47 contracts.
47 contracts.
So there's not, the highest one is $300,000. So they're spread off all across the board to give us that flexibility that we're looking for in the various groups.
The projects that you're working on, that was on that six-year plan, how much construction is going to be done in the next year?
I have that number. I had 60...
How many projects?
You know, I don't have the number of projects right in front of me, but the value is, I think we have 30... About $28 million next year, and then it's $65 million between the 2 years.
Maintenance or construction?
Capital? All capital.
New roads?
New roads. 119th Street, all the pavement preservation work, 47th Avenue. And, you know, the other thing that's included in here, too, is, you know, we're talking mainly transportation, but, you know, as we move forward in the parks program, landscape architect is something we don't have internally.
I guess it goes back to what I've always talked about when you mentioned about 10th Avenue on design, bid, build. I don't think we need any consultants other than to review ourselves.
Well, not
be included
just
in it.
Design, build. Design, bid, build is traditional. Design, build, they still have to have professional engineers that stamp the drawings and all that, but they're working with the contractor team. Yeah. And I think the 10th Avenue might lend itself real well for that once we get the permitting stuff.
I'm having difficulty because all of a sudden we're doing something we've never done before with a great deal of money.
I would say that, frankly, this is exactly what we've done before. The main difference is that we decided to collaborate between all of the various groups that help us deliver all the capital projects and everybody said, we need to go out together as a group and go out to the consultant community at the same time so that everybody understands the expectations. They can easily, because it takes consultants a long time to prepare proposals and whatnot. And so we want to make it as easy as possible on them, bring it all back together, and then we all had review teams internally who review all the skills. And then those groups came back with their recommendation.
And that's also then, we probably won't be coming back for another one of these requests for 2.5 to 3 years. So
instead of looking at little by little chunks, you're saying you've collaborated across departments in a longer period of time and basically streamlined the process so you can employ the services of the private sector to get all these capital projects done as needed.
Yeah, with less make work doing contracts that you don't need to do.
That sounds
we'll
like
never have a request for another consultant for 2.5 years.
Commissioner, they'd be happy to provide you with periodic reports on what they're spending against every contract.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
I mean, they do that routinely anyway.
Something new. I think it takes away flexibility from us to change projects along the way. If, for example, 10th Avenue was to be fast-tracked and permitting was done, our hands might be tied because you might have considered.
But these contracts are not for specific projects. They're for services.
A task. So we have, okay. we can, and with the flexibility of the task order, if there's a scope change, we can terminate the task and then immediately rescope it and start over.
That's kind of my fear, because you worked out ahead of your projects, sometimes years ahead of your projects, and you're paying the consultant to go out years ahead of your project, and I'll say, oh, wait a minute, we got this one here we want to focus on, so all that work that we prepaid in preparation is going to be old stuff by the time you come back to that project.
But that happens anyway.
That does anyway,
yeah,
but we are... Anyway. You know, and
I don't think it does unless you give me an example.
Well, 179th, all the work we put into designing 179th with the little traffic circles.
That was a budget thing.
No, they spent $1.9 million on that, or some amount on design.
It wasn't that much, but
it was a substantial amount of money, and then we took it off the priority list.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this is an example. We have a database that we built in order to track it. You know, we have a survey group. We have a consultant here with a contract amount of $165,000, and since late 2011, they've been issued 13 different task orders for various kinds of work, from sidewalks to 10th Avenue, stormwater facilities, and the tasks range from $400 to $16,000.
So I guess part of my problem is, of all the engineers we have on staff, we can't do that work. We're so busy designing sidewalks that we have other ones to do.
With the amount of work that we have shown that's on the TIP, between the TIP and the various work, we do not have enough resources internally to deliver that.
Right.
And, you know, so there's some...
Can I see the other list of consultants?
Yeah. And one of the other things that applies into that, too, is that one of the things that we are doing, we have a large capital program now because we are... spending down that fund balance. As that fund balance gets spent down, the available resources that we have to do capital programs in the future is going to be much smaller. So we don't want to staff up for current surge of work and then have to lay people off in 2 or 3 years.
We've held our engineering force pretty high during down times. That's the things we had discussed in years past to keep them on board. And so I'm just not comfortable with it, but I'll go with it.
Thank you.
So I'll probably asking questions down the road.
And they can report progress against every contract by quarter or every 6 months or how often you'd like to see it. And just so you can see that the entire $8 million isn't going to be spent.
I just know I have a bunch of engineers on staff, and I'm not doing that much construction compared to what I used to do.
Actually, this past year and this next couple of years, we have huge programs.
The next couple of years, yeah.
And we had a huge program this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been pounding out a lot of
building a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, 88th Street looks great.
And again, I would say it is difficult to our internal engineers take a lot of pride in their work. They don't want us to use consultants, and a lot of times we have to say, you can't get it done, you know, and we need to move it forward. And so I think, you know, we do have that going for us. And
so we normally have like an engineer in charge of every project.
We have project managers that are in charge, and they usually have. Mm-hmm. We have about 68 projects in motion right now. And so a project manager will have anywhere from 5 to 8 projects, and then they build their teams with the various engineers and other.
And those are not all capital programs. An example, when I mentioned in the work session, Scott Brantley's been taking the lead on that reservation system. he's a project manager, kind of managing that effort. Mm-hmm. You know, so
same skill set.
Yeah, they're using the same skill sets to be, whether it's a, you know, $20 million construction project or it's a software development. It's the same kind of tools.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't know whether to thank you or not. But
well, I'll thank you.
I just have to share some of my biases here. I've had some...
No. See this thing?
Yeah, I know. But there's a few companies in UK that I just do not trust those
rascals.
That's
a generic... That's a specific...
Make sure that they toe the line. That's all.
I don't know who we're talking about.
No, we don't. Actually.
And I'm sure you do. I know we've had this conversation. No good old boy network. No favorites.
I was being facetious. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Did you white on there?
Thanks. All right, we're out of here. Okay. Thank you.
So I guess you got the green light, right?
Yes, you do.
I got the green light on that. I got the green light on Stuart, and I need to give you more information on Saturday.
Okay. Yep. Good. Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to go hiking.
I'll get you a map.
Thank you very much.
That's a pretty good batting percentage.
Don't give him a GPS. It's in your mouth there.
I can say Tom drives a hard bargain.
Do everything for him. So
he's got one of those internal GPSs. Okay, well, that's the last of that. We do have a couple of work session requests, and in the packet I gave you, mm-hmm. there are, the 10 steps are in there.
Yeah, I saw that.
One is to talk about recreational marijuana facilities, and the other is conservation areas, mm-hmm. acquisition plan update. Mm-hmm. So I just need to go ahead. One of them... Don has requested December 17th. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have the time available, but if you give approval to these two subjects. It's in the packet over here.
Recreational marijuana and conservation features.
Yeah, there you go. So we just want to know whether it's okay to put these on the work session schedule.
I want to make sure we have enough information if we're going to have a work session. One of the things that really have come to light lately are all the different parts of this marijuana thing. And I'm still having trouble. I took an oath to uphold the laws of the United States of America. And I'm being hung out to dry here by the state and our federal government. And I'm not comfortable with what we're being tasked to do. Now there's a commercial grow and harvest. There's the, what do you call it, the buddy plan. That's when you get everybody is allowed to grow three plants. You all go to one guy's house, and he's the distributor. What is it? Where's Axel left? There's that plant, and then there's the retail store. And so one of the things that we never talked about before was commercial harvest, which is going to be in the rural area. We've never addressed that before. And I don't know if we have enough information to do that.
Here's what I would recommend. Is that the prosecuting attorneys would inform us of what we are required to do, because then we're in the dilemma that you're speaking of, is that if we act, we're in trouble, but if we don't act, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So
our moratorium expires in mid-February.
Right. Yeah. So we need to be able to know clearly what we are required to do to comply with the state. We're an extension of the state. Ahead of time, like to make sure that we get those requirements answered.
What I'm saying is that it's growing. I mean, it's not before we were just talking about selling,
sure,
or group grow or something like that.
Could I say that we do have plenty of work to do before the work session? And
yeah,
we need to ramp you up before the work session. Mm-hmm. But I need approval to schedule it,
mm-hmm.
and
sure,
that date will provide the pressure on staff to get the work.
Yeah, I want to make sure we have enough to talk about. Hopefully to understand better, to get closer to a decision.
Sure, instead of just one aspect, you want to cover all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to leave a meeting and say, gosh, what do we do next?
Okay.
It would be good ahead of that meeting, as certainly you define it, you put it on the schedule, and as the tasks get identified, to tune us in
so
we can see what they are. So we can, it will prompt us to send back specific questions so that the prosecuting attorneys can inform us.
So when we get to the work session, everything comes together.
And legal on that, I understand there's some counties that are not going to allow it. How can they do that without being sued?
Well, you heard the gentleman last night. He's, yeah, you, I think you knew the numbers, 500, 2,000.
Yeah.
And he's trying to decide whether to build a building.
Investment.
And how do we influence the zoning?
They've got 10 days to do it.
Exactly. So
well, that's
you're
where
right. This is where between a rock and a hard place.
Where the PA's office ought to be able to inform. Well, I mean, we need to know what are the other counties doing. Because what we ideally wouldn't be doing is be way out in front accommodating when other counties are saying, no, we're not accommodating. And here's how the legal standing that we have so that we don't have to. And it's no secret that we don't want to propagate marijuana in our county. We have enough nonprofit organizations helping people that have been addicted by it, whose IQs have been lowered by it.
Huh?
Oh. Not you, sorry.
Sorry, bad joke. Okay, so we'll get these scheduled and we'll get the work underway.
Yeah.
And provide regular updates on where we are and
yes,
get your
you.
Questions and guidance as we go along.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. 2 weeks ago, I handed out the vacancy review forms on three highway maintenance workers for Pete Capel.
I saw it. Not good.
Okay. Commissioner Stewart was good with all three.
Sorry, road fund.
Yeah, and I think you answered my question with each little tap here. Because that's the question
I didn't
have.
Get color tap.
Little tap?
You didn't get color tap? I needed it.
What the color tap say?
This one here, the job was abandoned. We left. This guy went to other employment, and this went to medical
leave. So why'd they leave?
Okay. This is why the vacancies
exist. Why did we have three vacancies doing the same thing all at one time?
Yeah, because we have an abusive supervisor. No. Okay, and then thank you for that.
And office assistant three.
Yeah, these
I had some concern.
Yeah, don't need your answer today. Oh, we're just handing these out today, and then next week.
Going forward.
Yeah, thank you. So these two here, we'll just hand them out and then talk about them next week,
okay.
Which is our standard way of doing things.
These are
the top three you can hand to me if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, you take I just want the new ones.
They'd be on the bottom. Okay. Oh, geez, I licked my fingers. You don't want that. There we go.
All right.
Those are the new ones. Okay.
And just to glance at these so we understand what these are. What department here?
DCS.
This is, that's Marty. No.
No, this is Vanessa Gaston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this
that
is
community service.
Yeah, this is an OA3 that provides support for program coordinators who work on 50-plus contracts using 14 different federal, state, and local funding sources, annual reports, RFPs, and minutes for three advisory boards, and maintains databases. Sounds like a full job.
And is this a new position?
No,
it's a vacancy.
It's a vacant position. Rebecca Royce left.
Oh, okay.
And she wants to replace Rebecca.
And these are funded from grants and...
Well, document recording surcharge, community services block grant, human services, administrative leadership...
Nothing from the general fund.
No general fund.
And this is, they already have the budget authorization for this?
Yeah. They were paying her before the person left. They still have the budget. They still have the fund balance. They just want to... hire a replacement for Rebecca.
Okay. Why would we even hold that? Do you want to do any more homework on that one? I'm good with it.
I mean, the contract work they do over there is just massive.
Mm-hmm. I'm already good with it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't hit the general fund. It's already replaced in an existing position. It's funded from existing sources.
So the lady that left was promoted. Was that a new position that she was promoted to?
No, we don't set up new positions unless approved in the budget, but I don't believe that it was a new position. I can find out specifically what promotion she took. Which one are you talking about, Commissioner? Is that Rebecca?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not aware of the position she was promoted into, but I can find out. But I'm sure it was an existing position that was vacant.
And again, this one's not drawn from the general fund.
Yeah.
The Heidi one.
And Heidi Steen actually was hired by Mark Gassaway. She's now working in this building down on the fifth floor in the auditor's office. She took Sandra Hall's place when Sandra was promoted.
So this is allow you to fill that gap.
This allows us to backfill behind Heidi.
Position.
Pardon?
Part of the workforce
development.
It's part of
it's a workforce plan. And,
okay. I'm good with it.
Good with both. Well, thank you, gentlemen. That's
only delay if it needs homework.
That's very nice. Thank you. Okay, well, that's all I have. We skipped over commissioner reports just because Pete was sitting here. So can we go back to number two for commissioner reports?
What do you got?
I just got one little thing. The GIS team did a great job putting together the 6 advisory votes maps. Actually, it went down for 2 days ago, and because they improved it, you can actually hover your mouse and see every single precinct, tells you what the number is and what the actual turnout was.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
But
And I just want to point to it. We got the references that we did on the Columbia River Crossing Light Rail to Lane project, right? Reference resolution. And I just want to be able to add one entry to point to that. And just want to make sure we follow process. Is that okay with you, sir? I just simply want to point to that map because I referred to that.
Just to be clear, on the reference sheet,
on the reference,
you want to add 152nd reference. Mm-hmm. Or what are we at now?
This is 18W3.
Okay, but
that particular one.
Okay,
there's 134 references already.
Okay,
this
so Commissioner Mielke, essentially we're changing the reference thing to add an additional link to the map that the commissioner is referencing. It doesn't change the resolution. Are you okay with that? Okay,
we're good.
I'll work with
you.
Okay, it's easy to do.
So Commissioner Mielke, do you have anything on your list?
You have.
I'm good.
Are we going to redraft some of the things that we have in our standard practice?
Does that have to do with
public testimony? Of course, one thing I noticed that since the letter went out to an individual that people testify in a little more kind. But some of the things that have been told to us is that they don't have to be. You know what I'm saying? Under the First Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think because I would keep reminding them that they could be held accountable for what they say, they become more kind. But more so is that I hate to give up the idea that when we have public testimony that we don't insist on courtesy, but I'm told that we can't. So if we can't, are we going to change this? For example, here it says uncivil, rude, vulgar, profane, or otherwise disruptive. Now, otherwise disruptive is they can't do. If they're disruptive, insight, then they're in violation.
What, Commissioner, does it say that those people will be removed from the venue? What if they engage in that kind of behavior? Or we encourage?
It says it shall not be permitted.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like we exceed the limit.
I think.
Because we can have our...
As part of our retreat, we will review the rules.
Okay.
And we will have the PA's office, Chris Horn specifically, advise us on that portion of the rule set.
They have been, over the last couple hearings, been more respectful.
I would agree.
And I think it's because they still can be held accountable. But if we allow that to happen, then we're allowing someone possibly to be held accountable in a court of law.
Yeah.
We need to be responsible for those rules of engagement here to keep them out of trouble and still maintain some type of order.
Right. I think there's been some self-policing amongst the population as well. We've had a number of people come up and complain about the harsh nature of some of the testimony, and they've encouraged people when they come up to be a little more civil.
We just need to pay a little Girl Scout to sit there with her magic.
Well, there are a couple in my neighborhood I buy cookies from them, so maybe I could encourage them to attend one of our hearings.
If they be good, the little Girl Scout gives her a little cookie.
Yeah, I'll double the order.
So we'll address more of that in probably more detail during the retreat.
Actually, why don't we do ahead of that, just simply have our prosecuting attorney's office take a look at those rules.
Oh, sure.
And
certainly
redline it so that we are respectful of the First Amendment rights.
Sure. And I will likely ask that each of you, if you have issues with the rules and if you have sections that you would like to discuss or talk about mm-hmm. or revise in some way, that we get those comments in advance of the retreat.
I'm aware that we're in disagreement on the First Amendment right of testimony. And I use the term when I start talking about your wife and children, is that still my First Amendment right? And you would say yes.
Well, actually, what I do is I ask the prosecuting attorney for the right answer and I just do what they say.
And you know, is that going to happen before we put sideboards on? So we're going to have to make a decision somewhere along the way.
Well, it hadn't happened yet. Someday somebody's going to take you up on that.
Someone may get in trouble. And I reminded people, just because they're an employee of the county, we don't give up our rights.
You don't hang them up in the door.
That's right.
And that's a specific question for Chris. Mm-hmm. What rights do we maintain
absolutely.
As public employees in the face of that kind of public testimony?
Inform us so that we understand.
I think we've been lucky. You know, we have kind of had a flare-up. It's kind of calmed down a little bit, but we're still responsible for it.
So is that rule of practice posted anywhere during the meeting?
Well, even if we post it, it could be in violation of somebody's First Amendment right. And that's...
Well, I don't... I think it's your rule of practice. It's your rule of practice. It would be helpful for the public to at least have that as a reminder as to what the expectation is.
Citizens freely quote the rules, so I do believe they're available.
Well, here's what I'm thinking is that there are voluntary requests that would ask people to be courteous and uphold these particular standards, understanding that they're voluntary. And then there are their First Amendment rights. If they want to push the limits, that's what their rights guaranteed them to do. So we can ask courteousness and those kinds of things, but understand the compliance is voluntary. So I don't think that we should just simply say, you can say anything you want to. I still think it's a good idea to have recommended guidelines just for good civility.
Yeah.
So that's the term, I guess, in here, is that they're guidelines. And that's what we should promote, is guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's the word.
Okay.
Yeah, we went beyond that. We threw guidelines out. And we pretty much said, anything you want to say, you can say. But, remember, you could be held liable.
Okay.
And the other thing I had was more like a Public Information Act from Milana. I think we all got that in her letter, because she couldn't be at the hearing today, and so she had those questions.
I didn't.
And I
take
thought
a look
we could give those to Pete. Huh?
Maybe Anna has my copy. I haven't looked at it yet.
I'll give those to Pete. I think we could answer those.
Is that regarding Hawks or something?
It is. Yeah, she wasn't available for today's work session.
So she's asking for records, or she's
just 100,000 different things.
Basically, when it comes to parks, all my stuff is pretty much email, and that's all public. You can take what you want.
Yeah, what classifications, qualifications, functions, hiring process, cost centers will be utilized for the three new parks positions? We're all going into one place. They're all going to be paid out of Department 488. We transferred two employees. Yeah, we can answer.
So you got it.
It's a lot of work, but we can do it.
I heard something today, and I'm not sure, and I need a clarification. We're going to have a parks manager,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to have four FTEs.
No.
It's the same plan as we...
It's the same plan that you blessed. We're going to have a parks manager.
And we're hiring an office assistant.
No, that's part of the... We brought Jeremy Knuth and Eric Christensen over from the city. We're going to create a parks manager position, and then we have an OA3. So it's four total.
Okay.
And it's a plan that you approved.
And then we're hiring another office assistant.
No, that's part of the four. Creating parks manager, that are coming over from the city, and an OA3.
Okay.
Not another OA3.
Okay, well, that was my concern. I thought there's a park manager on top of it, and there's an assistant underneath it. Mm-hmm. And then there's four others.
No.
And then the other thing that kind of bothered me a little bit is that we have the four positions. One of them oversees, I don't have my notes with me, one oversees scheduling, but yeah, we're contracting scheduling. That was new to me.
Actually, what we're doing is we're contracting with a firm to host off-site an internet-based reservation system.
But we're going to run it.
But yes, it'll be ours. This company is expert in the field. Yeah. We'll host it. It'll look like they're on the Clark County website, but they'll actually be on an off-site hosted site. And then we'll have physical locations where
people... We're using their site. Our employees are running reservations.
We're in charge of it. We have a contractor running an off-site automated web-enabled reservation system.
Someone else at the reservation... You're going to run set reservations?
It's all going to be automated. It'll be like...
In other words, it's a tool that we... that to provide. It's like...
We're not going to have a non-employee making reservations.
No.
No, but we will have employees who do other work who are capable of taking reservations.
Okay, I just want to make sure of that.
But the system that does the bulk of our reservations will be online, just like when you order a CD on Amazon.
It's an individual.
It's not an individual.
I was left with the impression it was an individual.
Okay.
So I was trying to have clarity.
Yeah. I'm so glad to see them find that resource because you don't have to develop it. It's already there. You just customize it.
I thought sometime along the way, I thought we had found that resource at an affordable price and we were going to buy it.
Well, no. This is a company that it's very large. It does this work for a lot of different jurisdictions. We just pay for a little piece of server and they take their software and they tailor it to reflect our website look and feel, and they put all our information in there.
Same thing then, I guess.
Actually, it's better. And it has so much of software that used to be, they're moving away from the model where you pay big bucks up front and you own it. They move into more of a subscription-based kind of software for so many of these things. Mm-hmm. So what this says, we pay for them to customize their package for us so it looks like us.
Yeah.
And then we pay a small take on the...
I was confused a little bit because I did see the dollar figure, and the dollar figure didn't reflect all those FTEs that I thought I was seeing.
You mean the budget?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the budget has all those FTEs. It also has the cost to the website developer to do our reservation system. And it saves, $300-some-odd thousand in year one? It saves another $100,000 in year two?
Well, I got that. But see, I thought that was our budget. They were adding... The manager on top of that wasn't included in
the staff. No, it's included in that dollar amount.
Yeah. Basically, we end up with paying half the cost of what we used to budget. It was $880, now it's $440 mm-hmm. once we finally get in the second year.
That's right.
For doing a better job. This is going to be a good reservation system.
Yeah, and I think this reservation system, I think the city, when they see it, they will likely adopt it as well.
Cool.
So... Okay.
I think that's all I have.
Referral,
yeah. Can we get a discount on service charges? So could we go around the table? Kelly?
Okay. Do you have some informational items to share? You may recall Heathen Brewing was in the news. This is the brewery, and it's kind of working out of a home-type situation, looking to relocate. They've identified some property in the vicinity of Chuck's Produce. Just to update you... they've gone through the pre-application conference, and it went really well in a lot of respects. One of the big issues they're dealing with is one of the oldest structures, an old homestead in all of Clark County, is located on the property, which would have to be demolished. So one of the things that they're looking at is taking the material from that site and then integrating it into the design of their brewery/restaurant at 9,400 square foot building. And so they're kind of bringing the history forward into the new building that they'll be constructing. So, and the history people seem pretty happy with that. They can't really preserve the site as an historical location because it's just in such really bad shape. It's not really worth preserving.
So this brewery, what's the annual capacity? I mean, in terms of cases or... kegs.
But I think it'll be bigger than what they have now in any event, because their whole effort is to expand the capacity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So any idea how many jobs will be wrapped up in that?
I think currently, I don't know if you remember, Mary, but I think currently they're already employing about four people. So, again, they'll have a restaurant function associated with it, so I'm sure it'll be double more. On the Public Facilities District, just update you on the SAO audit of the PFD. It seems to be going pretty well. I haven't gotten any feedback that things are going sideways. It's winding down. They're doing their final review of the payment agreement and the interlocal agreement with Vancouver. So it looks like that.
Which audit is that?
The Public Facilities District audit by the State Auditor's Office.
That's our activity that is responsible for the regional center out at the Fairgrounds, the event center.
So we're going through an audit for that, and it's looking good.
And mainly the Vancouver Convention Center, since that's where 97% goes.
They're doing that side too?
Well, it's our PFD that covers both. It's really a reflection of the market. We have three new hotels coming on board in Clark County. They're all in the east area between 164th and 192nd. They've announced construction to come. The good news on that is that it's expected that could generate more TPA money, which will help support marketing of the county by the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Great.
So that would be really
good. Motel hotel tax, too.
Oh, that's great.
Goes into the...
That'll be mainly Vancouver, not the...
Is it inside city limits?
Yeah, right, all three of them.
Darn.
So one will be at that Evergreen Airport location, and the other two will be along the Tech Center, the 92nd Avenue area.
Good.
And then lastly, just so you know, the invitational letter for 2014 for the Invocations Program, looking at the clock, hopefully I'll have all those ready to go today, and so we'll get those out and start getting more... response for next year.
Okay.
Great. So hopefully that'll...
Okay. I've got a question for you, Kelly and / Mark. The grid for the freeholders, how's that doing?
So I got an email from Sarah Eckhart, and if you go to clark.wada.gov/freeholder/index.htm, it looks like she was indicating that she has it up. You won't find the minutes from the last meeting on there yet because the minutes are still under review by Valog. Of course, we've only had one meeting.
Video link there?
I haven't seen it, but she indicated that we...
In other words, there's already a button on the home page to freeholders. So that goes to the grid. You open it up, and there's a grid right there.
There's a freeholders section.
Yeah. All right. In the freeholders section, is there a grid there? It wasn't last time I looked.
It is not mimic the Board of Commissioners grid. The grid, as we know it, has been branded and owned by the Board of Commissioners. So we're taking care not to confuse the Board of Commissioners with the Board of Freeholders, and also to meet the specifications of the Board of Freeholders. So I don't know if you're using the word colloquially or prescriptively.
I'm just thinking we have a very good tool as a template. Just copy it over there and start stuffing data in there as it works really well.
But we have to respect the integrity and independence of the Board of Freeholders and do their will. We can't just lay a template on them. We're doing a very good job, I think, of starting up with them, with both them as individuals, as a group, and with their leadership.
Yeah, so I think the point Mary's making is that they're a separately elected body, and this board doesn't dictate to that board how their material looks.
Another thing, though, I want to make the point, too, is that we do not want to confuse the two boards. And you now have very clearly labeled, stamped, and branded the grid as your stuff.
Yeah.
And then they have their stuff with a direct button straight off the home page.
Okay, but I think Commissioner Madora likes the format of the grid, the date, the documents, the links to videos and audios, and it's we ought to mimic that, regardless of what we call it.
It's a freeholder grid.
What I'm trying with all due respect to say that that's really the prerogative of the chair of the Board of Freeholders, that we are trying, we are sort of like on loan to them for their purposes. We're a resource provided to them. We're not telling them what to do, per se.
Sure. Can I respond?
Yeah.
Okay. Rather than dictating to them, what we're doing is we're equipping them, putting out the welcome mat for them. Here are the tools. Here's the, just like we provide the meeting space here, just like we set them up with a CVTV. And if they like that, great. So we would, we already have a system that we all have test driven. It works really well. I would assume, unless they say, we don't want that, we want something else in its place, that they would be happy to receive it. Right now, if we don't have a means, we don't have shelves in our garage to place things, to organize things, then we're already starting off on a disorganized foot.
We do.
Well, last time I looked, I couldn't find anything from the meeting.
It may not be your shelf, but it's the Board of Freeholders' shelf, and it's continuing to evolve as new material and information becomes available. It's just like your sport coat is not the same sport coat as, you know, the city councilman.
Are we saying the same thing or just a different place? So you're saying
they have a better way to do it?
It is available.
I'm saying we're working with them to get some traction in doing things that meet their needs in their way and their style.
Have they dictated to you that they want it different than the grid?
Let me suggest this, that we show them the format of the grid and ask them what they think. Do they like it? Would they like to mimic this?
So I guess we're asking Kelly
no,
to take
we do
it
something
and,
else.
And ask them, does they like to be on the grid? Is that what we're saying?
No, they have their own section, which we're taking care to distinguish from the Board of Commissioners section. So there's no confusion between grid A and grid B and board A and board B. In essence, we are kind of like a group of consultants that have been afforded to them as a courtesy, but they are the bosses, not us.
I got that.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that they're on our website.
Yes, they are.
Under Freeholders.
Absolutely. And it's very
and
prominently
at
displayed.
At their will, or offer to them, that we could put their minutes on their Freeholder site.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Oh, okay.
Every day we're stepping forward with them as they get themselves organized and they get in traction and they go through their checklist and do all their business and they've got a chairperson, a vice chair, and a secretary all working to get their needs met.
So here's what I would like to do. It's a county website. We provide the resources to them.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to be able to do is give them the grid, put the stuff in there, and allow them to be able to, and that gives them what
they
need to start
up. I think that's what I think what Mike's saying. We are.
We're
just under
not.
Freeholders.
We're not.
That is an option for them.
Mary,
be assured, it's an option for them.
It's
it is not being
Mark,
imposed
you
on them.
So
yeah,
so it's not what I thought. So
it's
they're
not
on our
that
website,
complicated.
Right?
It's not that complicated. We are giving them every courtesy, every welcome, every form of assistance that is possible. We are also, however, giving them the respect of their independence.
Absolutely. So I guess let me go back and ask my question again. The freeholders' minutes are on our website.
As soon as they become available and become sanctioned.
The answer is no, it's not there yet.
They haven't been approved by the board yet. They had their first meeting on the 26th. Okay. Val Ogden has them. When they have the next board meeting, she'll present them to the board to say, do you approve these minutes? Well, once they're approved, they'll be put on the grid.
So, I got it. What is there? So we have the November 26th agenda on there. We have the December 10th agenda on there, which I think I just sent you. We have the work plan that they approved, the bylaws that they approved, some ancillary documents that were included in their binder, like County Government 101. So there is information there.
But basically under freeholders.
The freeholders have their own page. We get that. But what we're doing is we're starting to stuff documents in there. Mm-hmm. And, for instance, I was really curious to go watch the video. Mm-hmm. And I expected, because we were setting things up ahead of time, I expected the grid to already be there because we'd already talked about that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there. And there's no place. And so you're really doing customized things rather than just using the same template, putting the information there so that we can all get to it and it's already behind the ball now. So I would suggest we go ahead, give them the tool, put the information in there, and that way they can be on with their business.
I think that what Mark suggested is that we see what the Board of Freeholders would be interested in doing. Their next meeting is going to be Tuesday night. Why don't I just bring it up under good of the order, since it's not a separately agenda.
Where is this next meeting? Is it in the hearing room?
It's right here in the hearing room.
So you can bring the screen down. You can bring the grid up.
Show them an example.
And quite frankly, it would be very easy for Sarah to copy it over, put whatever links you have on it already, and say, here's your stuff in grid format. What do you think?
Is that okay? Sure. In other words, give it to them, and if they say, no, we want something else, then absolutely give them something else. But allow them to start with a pre-made tool that works really well, is quick and efficient for everybody to use, and also to pre-populate.
Okay. Would you agree with that approach, Commissioner Moody?
I think I understand.
do you agree with that approach? Shall we?
That is, of course, give them the choice. Okay. But that's the purpose of having them. CVTV there.
The reason I ask is that staff is going to spend time doing this work and setting up the grid, and it might take an hour or two to create the grid and then put all the new links on it and that sort of thing.
In other words,
do we have to set up a grid in order just to have a freeholder part?
In other words, give them the same grid, put the stuff in there. If they don't like it, let them change it.
So when you get up on our website, there'll be a freeholder part.
Should we show them our grid and ask them if they like it? And if they say they like it and they'd like to have a grid too, then we spend the staff time to do it.
That makes more sense.
I think we're making work.
We don't want to do any work in this until they're prepared to say we're going to. Or why don't we just put the taping of their meeting
on
a grid under freeholder.
There you go.
Exactly what it is.
No, the grid's a very, very organized way to find things, and I'm actually, Commissioner Bedore said it's a resource for staff, and I agree completely, because you scroll down to the date you're looking for, and then all the stuff, it's all there. So there's really not a more organized way to put the information on.
We're all talking about the same thing.
Correct.
So, but you said, are we putting together with staff time first, or are we putting with staff time later, or why?
Right. I think if the freeholders see their stuff in a grid, they'll go, ooh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just say yes, Tom.
So we're gonna put the taping on our grid under
freeholders. No. They have their own. We take our grid works really well. Yeah. It stays the same. We say, here's your template. There's your grid. So
they go to the freeholder button, they click on it, and then it goes to the freeholder page.
The freeholder button will be under Clark County.
Correct. They already have a button.
Yeah, it's on our homepage.
Yeah, they already got it.
Yeah, and so that we just create a grid for them.
So I'm going to try to maybe play a neutral role here. I think what Mary is saying is that there's a very well popularized reference to the grid, which is the Board of Commissioners grid. It gets mentioned at Board of Commissioner meetings, almost every one. And I think what she is saying is, in the mind and ears of the public, when they hear the grid, they're thinking Board of Commissioners, not Board of Freeholders. And so she's saying,
actually,
maybe or maybe not that's a good idea, but the Board of Freeholders should make the call on that. And so, again, kind of maintaining a neutral perspective here, I can bring that up during good of the order, during the Board of Freeholders meeting. Now, if you want to go ahead and pull the trigger and say, do it, and then show them that we've done it and see if they want to change it, that's one approach. Or we could just show them all the information on there now and say, if you want to change it to this example and show them the Board of Freeholders grid.
Call it Sun
Grid. I would just say, do it. Make it, call it a freeholder grid. And today when we had our work session for the our Clark Advisory Commission for parks, give them a grid too. And so we have a parks grid. We have, in other words, these easy ways to organize and navigate. People get used to seeing the same kind of a tool multiple ways. It's just a really efficient way to go. And we want to get these new entities, these new kind of startups, accommodated as best we can right at the very beginning. If we had already set that up, then people could have already got to that information the day after they had their first meeting. So, yeah, please pull the trigger. Okay?
Well, you're talking about a grid. I refer to it as a site.
Well, the grid is on the site.
The grid essentially is...
The grid is just the structure of it?
The grid is a series of boxes, and there's like December...
It's a table.
December 4th, mm-hmm. today.
Okay.
Board time.
Yeah.
Okay. Audio file. Document A. Document B. Then you go back to 26 November, and there was... what was that? A consent hearing, video, and then documents. And then you go back to the 19th of November.
Wouldn't that be the same thing as saying it's the same thing as a public information type thing?
It's a simple matrix. It has dates, documents, and video files. And it's a very easy way to find what you're looking for. So
why would we do that?
Why wouldn't we? I don't know of a reason other than...
Okay.
So...
Maybe we're talking the same thing.
So you're okay with it?
I don't see... I understand we have to respect them as independent.
Yes.
But that's no reason why we can't have the information. Right?
Yeah, it's just how you organize it.
Yeah.
And the table format is very clean.
Yeah.
All right. Good. So we'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Just a little.
So I had
IT thing. I'll work with. Unless you want to fix them. Every time I bring this up on my cell
phone, we'll go get the updated version of the Flash player. That's an Apple problem. That's not a Clark County website problem.
Funny thing about Apple, they don't use.
I just need to show you what's up there.
But that's get a Droid. You won't have that problem.
Yeah, you know.
On my iMac, I go to websites and it says block plugin. On my iMac. What it means is, I mean, I don't call the website provider and get mad at them. I'm mad at Apple.
Yes. What this means, though, is that our county website is somehow requiring an Adobe plugin for certain devices to access it. We shouldn't require that.
It's an industry standard.
Mostly. It is, and I'm glad it is.
I mean, all over.
Well.
I mean, day after day.
So we're not stepping on anybody's toes just by posting their meeting on our website under Freeholders, right?
Their information goes up one way or the other.
Right, it's public information. I have one more thing. I do do-overs.
Are we allowing those?
We received. Yeah, I'm in charge of it. Boy, I like being in charge. We received a letter from an attorney representing the Neighborhood Association about the distillery. And I just couldn't see how that related to us. I think we all got it and we signed on to it. And I made a note at the bottom for legal to tell me how that relates to us and what we're supposed to do with it.
Well, it was the liquor license. And now all liquor licenses come to us before rather than after. So if we don't have any input, that just happened.
We knew that before. Why did the attorney send that to us?
This wasn't the license itself. This was a letter from an attorney who objected to the location.
He objected in representing the neighbor association. But he did go on to say, something I heard way, way back when, is that that piece of property, farm, and the one across the street from where the vineyard is, was not in the
Neighborhood Association.
In the association.
So
I didn't understand why it was sent to us.
I didn't see it.
We had some responsibility there.
I don't know. I don't recall the letter myself.
It came through our blue paper, and we all got it, and we all read it, initialed it.
Do you know the name of the attorney? Do you recall?
Well, that would be Linnea would know what got circulated. Yeah,
you initialed it.
I don't recall. We have but to be that means we there should be a record here. We'll find out what it was.
Was that the lower day, the daybreak one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So, any alibis?
Well, I think we worked through it, Mary. We were all talking the same thing. I called the site. He called it a grid. I called it, it's all public information.
Yeah, I feel the need to repeat that we're trying to act with integrity and credibility and respect for the Board of Freeholders,
sure.
A separately elected group of individuals with their own leadership.
While you were out of the room, though, Commissioner Mielke said the grid idea is fine, so let's go ahead and do it and present
public,
it to
them. It's all public information. So set aside from county stuff that people could access.
But we're not going to do that unless that's what the freeholders want, correct?
No, still public information. That means on CBTV.
I'm not understanding.
You can communicate this after
the meeting's over, because it's just getting a little frustrating.
Are we done?
Yeah, I believe we're done.
Okay.
Commissioner, are we done?
I'm done. You're done?
I'm done.
Woo! Got it through.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think we're all saying the same thing.
We do that a lot.
Well,
we have a different way of saying it.